All right, The Kilmore Nickel, The Forgotten Journey. It's a feature documentary co-produced by Glass Entertainment Group and the Kilmore Nickel Foundation. And it's been nominated for a 2018 Mid-Atlantic Emmy. And to talk about this, we're talking to the executive producer, Sam Heed, today. Sam, thank you for joining me.
Kelly, thank you so much for having me.
Explain this title. What does it mean? Why is it The Forgotten Journey?
Great question. That's a great place to begin. There are really two aspects to The Forgotten Journey, and it's something that we wanted to, it was a way for us as a tall ship and a maritime educational organization to be able to make a contribution to Delaware's history, Delaware Valley's history, and America's colonial history. So the first Forgotten Journey is the broad Atlantic crossing. It's a huge Atlantic world. It's a huge story. It's all of the 17th century and the 18th century colonial experiences. Everyone crossed the Atlantic. And you can include Africa, too, if you want. We don't in our story, but certainly the African slave trade. Everyone crossed the Atlantic who immigrated to North America. And we've lost a sense of how difficult that passage was and how dangerous it was and what it took to bring these ships, what kind of ships they were, and how they navigated and how they made it from Europe, let's say, to North America. So that was the first part. And I could elaborate a little more on that, but let me just mention the other one is the Swedish experience. We're a Swedish ship. Delaware, the first permanent settlement in European settlement in Delaware in the Delaware Valley was Fort Christina, a Swedish colonial settlement. So the Swedes were here in the Delaware Valley establishing themselves before any other European power. And in America broadly, but even in the Delaware Valley and even in Delaware, we don't have a good sense that the Swedes were here. The Swedes? Who, really? The Swedes had an empire. The Swedes had a navy. The Swedes had a North American colony. This is something that doesn't really fit our mental picture of America's colonial period. So back to the Atlantic. I mean, the Atlantic was a first frontier. It was an experience that everyone shared in the colonial experience. It took about 3 months to cross from Europe to America. With the prevailing winds, it was a little shorter going back, usually about 2 months, but that's if things went well. And things didn't always go well on the first Kilmore Nickel voyage. And the Kilmore Nickel, I should add to your audience, made 4 round-trip crossings, more than any other colonial ship of the era. And so we're proud of that record of endurance. So that's 8 transatlantic crossings successful from Sweden to New Sweden. But the crossing, you know, took a long time. It was dangerous. The best records we have come from the 18th century and not the 17th century. But the loss rate was about 20% in the 18th century, and one can make inferences that it would have been even higher in the 17th century. So if you get in your car today and you knew that commuting from work to home, you had a 20% loss rate, you might think more carefully about commuting that kind of distance. So that's the Atlantic. It shaped, it's the distance from which we are removed from Europe and the time lag, the 3 months, really 5 months to get a message to America and then have America process that message and then send it back to Europe. That time lag explains America's colonial identity, explains the revolution, explains who we become and how we become a different place. So we've lost a sense of that. I taught American history for 20 years, and we tend to do it at the water's edge, at the beach, and we don't look at it from the ocean. If you turn the map sideways and you come at North America from the Atlantic, everything begins to look differently. So that's that. The other element that we thought we could do and needed to do, we're a Swedish ship by heritage, was to tell the story of the Swedes in the Delaware Valley, at least the initial settlement. We couldn't do all of New Sweden. That was beyond the scope of of a one-hour documentary. But we could at least introduce the concept that the Swedes were here, and they had an important role in the development of the Delaware Valley. That leads to interesting questions, because so many people don't have never heard of New Sweden, don't know that the Swedes had an empire, don't know that they had a navy, don't know that they were interested in North American colonization. It helps us to understand what the other European powers were doing and why they were doing it. If the Swedes are doing it too, it helps us to understand others.
So are these some of the reasons why you produced this documentary?
Yeah. Thank you. We wanted to tell our story of the Kalmar Nickel, a Swedish ship with a Swedish name. It means Key of Kalmar, named for the city of Kalmar in southeastern Sweden, which was an important medieval border fortress and an important early capital in Sweden. And in America, we don't know the city of Kalmar, so we don't even reference that this is a Swedish ship. And that the Swedes were here. So that was one of the things we wanted to do, was tell our story. And the hope was that, you know, a documentary film on television would reach many, many more people. That's my job, is the history and to get the message out. So that was why I sought out that opportunity.
Well, what did you learn from all of this?
Well, that's a good question. The first thing I learned is how hard filmmaking is. You know, there's more that goes on behind the scenes. You hear the stories about, you know, a 30-second commercial took 3 days to film. You hear these things, but until you actually do it, probably like radio, there's an awful lot that goes into producing a quick little 10-minute clip. That's what I learned most of all, was just how difficult and time-consuming and all the challenges one faces in a production that's going to be worth putting on television and worth having people watch it and learn something about it. The other thing I learned, which I had hoped would be true, but I didn't know, that I had hoped that the process of producing a documentary would help discipline the storytelling. One of the challenges we face with the Swedish story and with Dutch investors and Peter Minuit, who was German but worked for the Dutch and had a French Huguenot ancestry, who was our first governor and sort of founding inspiration. It's a very complicated story over in Europe of who's gathering the interest and putting together the investments to start a new colony on behalf of Sweden. Very complicated story, very modern. That's a hard story to tell. I've told it in writing. You know, historians write, and I talk about it a lot. But I saw this as an opportunity to tell our story in a coherent way that, you know, with the power of moving images, nothing like seeing the ship actually sailing out in the ocean, or in our case, we filmed in Delaware Bay. But those compelling images really help the storytelling. And it forces a discipline upon the storyteller, which, of course, is an enormous advantage to the audience. Those are two things I learned.
Let me point this out for our listeners. The documentary initially premiered in December of 2017, and then it re-aired in mid-June this past summer, which is when I saw it. It's fantastic. And the film is now being marketed for an international broadcast and DVD release. When do you expect that it will come out on DVD so that everyone can see it?
Well, we're excited about that. First, let me tell you, we just signed a deal with SVT, which is Swedish Public Television, and so it will be airing in 2019, and then they will air it multiple times, probably 18 or 20 times over the next 3 years. So that's exciting for us that it's an international project. It speaks to Swedes. You know, it's a Swedish colonial story as much as it's an American colonial story. So we're excited about that. The DVD release, we've held off on that until we could develop the television broadcast market. So probably in 2019, we've sort of been waiting for Sweden, I think, to sign on the dotted line. And while I can't give you a hard date, probably sometime in the latter part of 2019. And then we will make it publicly available. We'll put it on an online video on demand service as well for younger people. But we will also release it in DVDs. Late 29, we will certainly let you know and let your audience know and everybody.